welcome to worship both here in sanctuary and online. It is a joy and pleasure to have you worshiping with us today. Today is filled with a lot of wonderful things. We are receiving new members this weekend, so we celebrate at each service the new members who are being brought in at that service. We're also recognizing our new Stephen ministers and leaders. So today is going to be filled with a lot of excitement and energy, as well as the bells and the choirs. It is a good day to be in worship this day. Because here at Desert Hills Lutheran Church, we celebrate, grace. We make, disciples. Who make, may it be so in our lives each and every day. Some announcements for the weeks ahead. On Friday, March 15th at 1 p.m., we are having Celebration of Life with Marge Anderson here in the sanctuary. So please come if you're able and to celebrate Marge's life and support the family. But do keep the family in your prayers during this time. On Wednesday, we continue our Lenten journey. At 5:30, we're exploring spiritual practices here in the sanctuary. At 6 o'clock, we'll have our soup supper together. 6:45, hymn sing. And then at 7 o'clock, we are using Holden Evening Prayer. And Pastor Dennis Nelson is leading us in that worship and sharing God's word with us that night. So please come and celebrate with us during that time at any of those events. Speaking of choirs, on Thursday at 4 p.m. will be our spring choir concert. So not only did you get a small taste of what will be happening on Thursday, so come and celebrate with our choirs all the work that they have done. Be entertained and inspired by beautiful music and support the music ministry here at Desert Hills on Thursday at 4 p.m. Then you can get up in the next morning at 9 a.m. and meet me at Madeira Sunrise at 9 a.m. for some coffee, some food, some fellowship. We encourage you to wear your name tag that day so that we get to know each other a little bit better. And then that evening, you can come back to church and have trivia night. So you don't have to leave this week. Come on Wednesday, just stay the rest of the week. It'll be good. So trivia nights at 4:30 in the fellowship hall. There are still some tickets available, so come and get your tickets and just enjoy that time of fellowship on Friday. Easter lilies. Easter lilies are being donated. So if you would like to donate, the suggested donation is $15 in memory or honor of someone. There are envelopes by the front office. Fill one of those out and we'll make sure that we recognize those loved ones in our Easter celebration. We need to have those purchased by March 26. Easter dinner is coming up on March 31st at 2 p.m. So if you're interested in having Easter dinner together, the menus are out in the hallway. The cost is $17 per person. Again, you can purchase your tickets at the front office this morning. As I mentioned earlier, Stephen ministers are going to be recognized at this service. So at this time, I do invite Carol Bates-Smith, the team leader for Stephen Minister, to come forward to recognize our new Stephen leaders and ministers. And I'll come down. Here we go.
Today, we're very pleased to recognize two Stephen leaders for our ministry program here at Desert Hills Lutheran Church. After 20 hours of instructions, these ministers are prepared to help the Stephen Ministry Program. Please come forward, Joyce Johnson and Nancy Sargent. Unfortunately, Nancy was called out of town. Nancy is our communication coordinator and Joyce is our planning coordinator. They are a welcome addition to our program. We're also recognizing our new Stephen ministers who have just completed 50 hours of extensive training. Please come forward, Sandy Greenwell, Ann Srivner, and Terry Palmer. These Stephen ministers and leaders will be assigned to provide care to those in our congregation and community going through difficulties in life. We thank God for their gifts and ask that you keep them, these people in your prayers so they carry the love of Christ to those who need it.
At this time, I invite past and present Stephen ministers to come forward for the laying on of hands of our new ministers, Nancy and Joyce, Sandy, Ann, and Terry. Let us pray. Oh God, we ask that you take our sisters and brother into your care. You have blessed them with gifts and talents and have provided them with an opportunity to learn more about helping people. May they serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they be quick to serve, patient in listening, and willing to share themselves with other people. Give us thankful hearts for them and show them in times of stress and satisfaction a special measure of your mercy and joy. Keep them strong in the faith that you have given them for the sake of Jesus, who cares for us all in every way forever. Amen.
Today we recognize our newly trained Stephen leaders and Stephen ministers. If you are interested in becoming a Stephen minister, please let the front desk know and we will get you signed up. You may have noticed a table in the hall, rest hallway, where you can sign up to become a Stephen minister or to request a Stephen minister to help you in your time of need. Let us thank God for all these new Stephen leaders and Stephen ministers, for all they will bring to the congregation and community in providing care to others. And let us promise them our daily prayers and support as we send them out to minister among us. Please welcome our new leaders and ministers.
At this time, I invite you to join me as we begin with a time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we are just so thankful that we have this opportunity to gather during this season of Lent as we journey with you toward the cross. As we hear of your amazing love, we are reminded today that you so loved the world, that you lifted Jesus up so that we may face hope instead of despair, that we may know love and we may know your grace. Bless us this day, whether here in sanctuary or online, may we feel your presence and may we lift our voices in praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please stand if you're able for opening hymn.
People chosen from generation to generation to be witnesses to the great covenants that exist between God, humanity, and all of creation. These covenants have been gifts of God so that we might be confident in God's love and presence. God of faithfulness. You have been true and faithful to the promises you have made to us. Yet we have not trusted your promises, even when you sent your Son to show us your heart and commitment to reconcile all the world. We continue to turn our backs on you and to seek life and love in other places that only leads to empty promises and broken lives. Teach us, O God, how to faithfully respond to your great gifts and to live grace-filled lives. In this season of Lent, we wait for the fulfillment of God's promise to restore and redeem us on the cross, knowing that in Christ's death, our sins are put to death, and in his rising, we too are raised to new life. Amen. Please be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
O God, Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. God, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us.
Steadfast God, you reach out to us in mercy, even when we rebel against your holy call and prefer to walk in disobedience rather than in the way of your divine truth. Soften our hearts with the warmth of your love, that we may know your Son alive within us, redeeming us and raising us up into your eternal presence. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. They traveled from Mount Or along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The word of the Lord.
Great is thy
Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Beloved people of God here in the sanctuary and online, great is God's faithfulness. That we can gather here today trusting in God's promises, trusting that Jesus has been lifted up so that we may face hope this day and not despair. Amen. We, during this Lenten journey, have been looking at the different covenants God has made with God's people. And now we hear this strange covenant coming in the book of Numbers. As I look back over my ministry, I cannot remember a time that I ever preached out of the book of Numbers. My guess is probably none of you have ever heard a sermon out of the book of Numbers. Most of us haven't even read the book of Numbers. Because if you've ever tried to read the book of Numbers, it's very confusing. There's a lot of lists, a lot of organizations, and then it spends its time talking about the wanderings of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The book of Numbers is one of those books that oftentimes gets overlooked. But today we're going to dive in to the book of Numbers. In order to begin to understand what is going on this morning in chapter 21, we need to go back a little bit in time, back into Numbers. You'll discover in Numbers that the people of Israel have been complaining over and over again. And earlier, they complained so much that God brings Moses up and says to Moses, "Moses, I've been thinking, let's wipe these people out and I'll start over with you." And Moses goes to God, "God, you can't do that. You can't do that because the Egyptians will say, you only brought them out of Egypt to wipe them out. Besides, God, you are a God that is slow to anger. You are God abiding in steadfast love." And we're told in scripture, God says, "Okay, I won't wipe them out. But what I will do is I'll make them wander for 40 years. Have you ever wondered why it took them so long to not go that far? It's because God makes them wander because they've been complaining so much. God says they're not going to see the promised land. Only their children will. So God makes them wander. And now they've been wandering. And now again, they're complaining about Moses and God. And if we're all honest, we can kind of understand why. Wandering for 40 years, eating the same food day after day after day. We complain about leftovers. Can you imagine the same leftover for 40 years? Every meal? You can understand why the people are a little bit upset. Why they are complaining. But yet, their complaints seem to go at the very heart of who God is, because God had rescued them. And they somehow believe the captivity and the oppression that they experienced in Egypt is not worth comparing to the freedom God is giving them in the wilderness. They'd rather be in bondage than live in freedom. So they complain. Now, the scripture is not clear whether God sends the snakes or the snakes just show up. And if you think about it, those of us who live in the desert know that snakes just show up. You find them on your patio porch or your front doorstep. And we also know that if you're eating a bread-like substance day after day, you're probably attracting some other critters along the journey. And snakes like those critters. So it's not surprising that snakes show up. But we hear that the people make the connection between the snakes and their complaining. And they ask Moses, "Moses, will you please pray to God to get rid of the snakes?" And do you notice how God responds? He doesn't get rid of the snakes. He only gives them hope of healing by them looking at the bronze snake. This snake that the medical community has picked up as a sign of healing. But he doesn't remove the snakes. He doesn't take them away. He reminds them of the reality of life, but he gives them hope in the midst of their pain. And that's kind of the way our God works, isn't it? That's how Scripture describes God. Over and over again in Scripture, we have communities, we have individuals asking God, "Why do you let this happen? Why do you let bad things happen to good people?" And do you know how God responds? God responds by first asking a question. Were you there when I created the universe? Were you there when I figured out how life was going to be working? Do you understand the complexities of the human experience? And time after time, the answer is no. And then God says, "That's why you can't understand what I'm doing. That's why you can't understand why things are happening." See, God reminds us that we don't worship a God who we can control. We don't worship a God who is under our disposal. We worship a God who is completely free to do what God knows is best for the salvation and redemption of the world. This got me thinking about when our two sons were young, I read to them the Narnia series. If you ever read that series, like C.S. Lewis, I've read almost all of his books. And I particularly like the Narnia series in the way that he works out life. And if you've never read the Narnia series, what you'll discover in the first book, The Witch and the Wardrobe, you'll discover that these young children go to Narnia, this place beyond the wardrobe that is being overtaken by the White Witch who brings winter. There's no hope and there's despair. And these young children come there and they find there Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. And Mr. and Mrs. Beaver recognize who they are. They are human beings. And they know the story that when the humans show up, God is going to do a new thing in Narnia. So they invite them back to their house, or actually their kind of den. And there they're sitting around the table eating. And Mr. Beaver says, "We have heard that Aslan is on the move. He's coming back." And one of the children says, "Who's Aslan?" And to their surprise, they go, "Aslan is the king of the woods. Aslan is the son of the great God who's across the sea. Aslan is the king, the lion." And one of the little girls said, "Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "No, he's not safe. He's a lion. He's the king, but he is good." I invite you to put that quote up. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the description of God. God is not safe. God is not safe, but God is good. We don't want a safe God. A safe God will not bring the oppressed out of captivity. A safe God will not destroy the power of sin and death. We need a radical God. We need a mighty God. We need a God who takes on the powers of this world and defeat them. We do not need a safe God. We need a powerful God. We need a God who will stand up to the things of this world and defeat them. We need a God like Jesus, who is lifted up out of the oppression of the Roman Empire so that we can face hope and not despair. That's the kind of God we have. Not a safe God. A powerful God. A God who is willing to take on the powers of this world. A God who is radically free and who is loving beyond compare. A God that could create the universe and can know you. That's the kind of God we need. That's the kind of God described in Scripture. That's the kind of God we see in the book of Numbers. Not a safe God, but a freed God. Free to act in a way that we can't always understand, but yet always giving us hope in the midst of that. Because sisters and brothers in Christ, we've all had snakes in our lives, haven't we? We've all had those situations in our lives that feel overwhelming. And maybe some of us right now are experiencing those snakes in our lives right now. But the book of John reminds us that just like Moses lifting up the bronze snake so that we may face hope and not despair, so Jesus is lifted up so that when we are experiencing those moments, we can look to Jesus and know hope. Know that we have a powerful God, a God who has defeated death itself. That we don't need to continue to live in despair. We can turn and face hope instead. The hope and promises of God. God so loved the world. That's the kind of God we have. Not a safe God, but almighty God. A God who releases the captives, give sight to the blind, heal the lame, proclaim good news to the world. We have a God where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. We have a God who has power and might and love and forgiveness. Because sisters and brothers in Christ, to walk by faith is not a journey of safety. It's a journey of courage. It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to say, I'm wrong. It takes courage to love the other. It takes courage to face hope and not live in despair. And it is that kind of God that we worship. A God that lifts up, lifts his son up so that we may face hope. That we may take that step of faith into the unknown. That we can trust a God who is free and mighty, but yet good and loving. So if you'd like to go a little deeper in today's message, I invite you to think about this. What's your reaction to C.S. Lewis's description of God being a wild and untamed lion? Have you at times made God too safe? Have you at times believed that God doesn't have the power to set you free? Do you sometimes not understand the very depths of who God is and turns instead to despair instead of turning and facing hope, knowing that God has a power to set you free? This day I invite you to know that Jesus has been lifted up for you so that you may know hope. You may know God's love. And may we together have the courage, the strength to step out by God's grace into faith, where there we discover the God who liberates us and sets us free. Amen. Thank you. At this time, it is my pleasure to invite up those new members who are being received at this service. Deb and Keith. It is nice we're having different couples and individuals at each of the five services. And again, just shows a reflection of people are inviting people to the services that best suits their journey of faith. So today we are excited to have Deb and Keith as part of our community here in this service. Now I invite those who are gathered online as well as in sanctuary to join with Deb and Keith as we affirm together our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is one of the oldest creeds of the Christian faith. The answers will be up on the screen, in case you're wondering. Fear not. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Now that you have affirmed your faith, I ask you, are you willing to continue this journey of faith through the life of this congregation? Do you promise to live as disciples to the best of your ability, to worship God regularly, to read your Bible, to pray, discover and use your spiritual gifts, tell others about God's grace, to work for God's justice in the world, and to live generous lives in the service to God's mission in this world? If so, answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
Now, because this journey we take together, I ask those gathered in sanctuary and online the same question. Do you promise to live as disciples to the best of your ability, to worship regularly, to read your Bible, to pray and discover your spiritual gifts, to tell others about God's grace, to work for God's justice in the world, and to live generous lives in the service to God's mission in the world? If so, answer yes by the help of God. Yes, by the help of God. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in your people the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. On behalf of this community, I want to welcome you as disciples here at Desert Hills Lutheran Church. May we all be blessed by this relationship as we grow together as a body of Christ. I invite you now to turn and face the congregation as we welcome you. Once again, I invite you to welcome Keith and Deb and all the new members this weekend and the days ahead so that they feel part of this community and we get to know each other a little bit better. We will now continue our worship with our gathering of offerings.
Thank you.
In preparation for our prayers, we hear words from Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, our prayers, our gifts of time, and the ability to proclaim your good news to a world that needs your word of hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. New to our prayer list is Norma Wiseman, George Reek, Richard Borstad, and Larry Ballard. Leaving the prayer list with thanksgiving for healing is Anthony Potter, Joyce Butters, Roy Baker, Karen Balzer, and Betty Brewer. We take time now to silently pray for those who remain on our prayer list, as well as for others in our hearts and for situations in our lives. God of the covenant, in the glory of your cross, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over all your people. In this time of repentance, draw all people to yourself, that we, who confess Jesus as Lord, may put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the Israelites looked upon the bronze serpent and were healed, grant that all who suffer may look upon the cross of Christ and find healing, forgiveness, and life. Restore broken bodies, strengthen hearts weakened by doubt and fear. Take away all types of pain, overcome depression, repair broken relationships, bring comfort to the grieving and your hope to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, during these 40 days of Lent, provide us your grace as we walk with Jesus to the cross. Bless us as we reflect together on the covenants you have made with us and all of creation. You call us to trust you with our lives as you guide us each day. May we be open to the working of the Holy Spirit, not only in these days of Lent, but throughout the year. For in you is the hope and peace we seek, and the love that brings us life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Please stand as we join our hearts and our voices to sing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
hope this service was a blessing to you. And if this is your first time worshiping with us, we invite you to stop by our welcome desk so we have a chance to get to know you a little bit better this day. Also, I want to invite you out into the fellowship hall. We have a time of coffee and cookies and fellowship, and all are welcome there at that space. Receive now the blessing of God this day. Blessed by God's everlasting covenant, set your hearts and minds on the ways of God. Cling not to your own life, but take up your cross and follow Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We sing our sending hymn.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.